Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, back again, we have Anthony Rosenbaum. Anthony is a trance overshadow medium who consults with those who wish to have a spiritual and practical overview of the purpose of their lives, to understand their karmic and past life history, and to overcome obstacles, which helps them create a more expansive, calmer, and more satisfying life. Anthony has been aware of spirit and healing energy from a young age and had a spirit guide who advised him. He studied meditation, which became a very expedient way for spirit to enhance its dialogue with him. And he worked holding home circles and for 6 years ran a meditation-based self-development open circle at the London Spiritual Mission, where he gave various talks and was also a director. Anthony also provides a direct form of channel healing in person, online, or absent. Anthony works in collaboration with Spirit Academy, devised by Jamie Coombs. They, along with other practitioners, bring together many different healing and self-development modalities in one place, tailored to the client's best and most appropriate needs, assuring them of full attention, confidentiality, and support. They work individually and together, providing one-to-one sessions, workshops, and retreats. And in this show, we discuss the difference between spirituality and religion. Anthony, please tell us your view. How do you see, what is the difference between spirituality and religion?
I see religion to be a structure, a cultural approach often, to finding the divinity, the connection with divinity, that which is not tangible, that which goes beyond the structure of our day, that which makes us feel connected to everything. And there are different approaches to that. Spirituality, I see as the seam running through that unites, whereas religiosity can be excluding, spirituality is including. It joins everybody regardless. It has no requirement other than to become one. It's the joiner of everything.
That is absolutely so true. And, you know, that's what I write because, you know, I believe in a way religious doctrine sort of confiscated our divinity and our power to awaken and enlighten ourselves, to go within to ourselves, to find, you know, that divinity within ourselves. You know, because, you know, the church and everything, I venerate it. It's wonderful. It's brought people together in a way. But it's also, you know, years ago especially said to get to God, you have to come through the priest, you have to come through the church, you have to come and sit with us and listen to our dogma and go through the, you know, the rules and the regulations of our institutions. When really, spirituality, I believe, does not come from religion. It comes from our soul, which is a part of the Most High. Religion is the belief in someone else's experience. However, spirituality means having your own experience, your own merging with the divine. Do you agree?
I do agree. I believe that it can be the starting point for exactly that.
Yes.
But as with everything, it's about intention.
Mm-hmm.
It depends what it is that you're there motivated by in order to be there. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, religion is purely the head marker for a coming together a sense of community, a sense of sharing, of mutual. For those who see religion as a way of moving forward, it provides a structure to that promises that if you align with this, then we can get you on the path to that. Where this diverges is when it goes against what the natural instinct is, the inner compass, the navigator. Where that differs, then conflict comes. And the freedom that spirituality promises, that is all it is. It creates an opening, more and more expansion, then comes into question and can be limited, at which point religion, depending on which religion, depends very much on the type of religion, but it can really restrict and it can exacerbate areas of conflict within that the individual might be looking forward to move through, but is reminded through a sense of thou shalt nots, of quite how lonely they can be, whereas spirituality is about taking away the sense of loneliness. It's a question of, it's a sense of sharing that under all of the outer, we are all the same within, regardless of our challenges, regardless of those things that we find that we feel differentiates ourselves, separates ourselves, we're not separate at all. And it's an invitation to just release.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true. And really, spirituality is, you know, having, finding, seeking the true divine self within and merging, knowing that it is the oneness, you know, the merging of with divine source. And we don't, I believe that, you know, nature is our church. God is everywhere. Goddess is everywhere. Divine source, divine love, light, energy is in every single thing in this beautiful, incredible realm that we live in. You know, it's not just in a church. Jesus didn't even have a church. You know, he taught metaphysical, you know, alchemical, spiritual, enlightening, healing, you know, because I believe, you know, we are the temple. We are the temple where divinity and humanity come together. We are the temple, and the light of the temple must be lit through inner transformational spiritual teachings through the divine flame. And for what Jesus said was the single eye. Now, in Matthew 6:12, because I love the Bible, I love Jesus's words. He spoke in parables and it was the truth. But for me, religious doctrine, it makes me want to go within, you know, to find that within. But I love what Jesus taught, because if you listen, he said, the light of the body is the eye. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. This means to see and know divine truth. One must go within oneself to activate the spiritual single eye and remember one's ecclesiastical birthright. For me, the church, hierarchy, monarchies feared this teaching and tried to erase this from history. Priests controlled access to God, emperors, kings, and the church held absolute power in our past. You know, and thus people had to go through their institutions, pay money to be saved, to reach heaven. Yet we are divine and human, and we can go within through meditation and connect to the divine anytime we wish.
Yes, I mean, there's a huge amount of nutrition in that, and it is one approach. And as I always say, my truth,
yes,
says that there is no single truth.
No.
It is aspects of truth, different perspectives of truth, of what serves us again, for me, believing in reincarnation,
Yes.
that it serves us for what we are processing this time around.
Yes.
My feeling is that the things that separate us are our contributions to the expansion of the spiritual and the cosmos. It is the working with and the challenges of and the undercovering of different slants, different nuances, different textures, that is the purpose, that we expand, expand, expand with no, there is no beginning, there is no end. So the irony that some people will approach religion as black and white, as evil and good, I would argue that the only way that we can reconcile and to find peace with is by knowing the contrast, but not naming the contrast, other than one is progressive and one is not. One expands, one retracts. And that can be shown through harm, sabotage, self-sabotage, etc., etc. But without those elements, we wouldn't know the lesson. We wouldn't understand the lesson.
Yeah.
In that way, religions can be very useful in the sense that, again, depending on the variety, some will lay down absolute dogma, absolute waggy-fingered, you mustn't and you must.
Yes.
But when taken literally, and when the personal journey is taken out of it, when it's an aspect of the intellect,
yes,
and the emotional grouping, that's when religion and spirituality separate.
Yes.
Because spirituality is through the heart chakra, through the sense of love, expansion, expression, adjoining. And the head is, it's in my head. I own it. My ego requires that I'm validated by it, that this is the truth, that this is the only way.
Yeah.
And it is my role to make sure that everybody hears it and ideally will subscribe to it.
Yes.
You know, it's fear driven. It must be, it must be. Whereas spirituality loosens the ties completely, gradually, gradually, as one immerses into it and finds that deepening peace and sense of trust in it, to say it doesn't matter. I may not agree with you, I may violently disagree with you, but we all have a contribution, we all have a part, and my views can't be reinforced without knowing that yours are not where I lie, that I don't align with those. It doesn't make it wrong. It makes it wrong to the ego,
yes,
that insists it's always right. But in terms of spirituality, it is certainly not wrong, because there is no wrong. It's experience.
Exactly. That you just put that so beautifully.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
And as you said before, you know, it's so important to expand yourself and see beauty in all religions, in all spiritual disciplines, in nature, in everything. Yeah. As you know, Paulo Coelho's book, The Alchemist, he went out and he went to so many different countries and experienced so many different religions and spiritual disciplines and everything. And when he came back, what did he find? He was searching for something and he found it. When all through his travels and everywhere that he went, he came back and he realized it was always within himself. You know,
it's the Wizard of Oz, but spiritual.
Yeah,
it's exactly that. You, in order to refine, one needs to experience.
Yes.
One needs to be able to not feel fearful and therefore dependent upon the truth that is known and understood and keeps grounded. It's a sense of, if this is a spiritual journey, then I relinquish those ties. I may come back with the same conclusion that that is who I am, but I won't know that until I've immersed myself and shared and listened, experienced through others what else there is. And since we require duality, we're not duality. We're an immersive mass of all sorts of experience and senses of alignment. And it's finding the tone of our own personal cocktail of that. That's the point, that it isn't a singular, one-dimensional, this is me. It's having the freedom, the confidence to say, I'm contradictory. I feel this, but I also feel that. Yes. And that's fine.
Yes.
And it makes then the blending with everyone and everything else possible.
That's
it
right.
Doesn't create the division.
That's correct. Because, you know, religion and governments have caused, especially religion, mass division. You don't believe in my God, so I'm going to kill you because God told me to kill you. But God is love. How can you harm? And that's the underpinning of everything about we are one. There's one soul, one over soul that is within each and every one of us. It's our soul consciousness that we all share from the one creator. You know, that oneness. You can't harm another if you realize about that oneness. And then that's where it comes down to. You're killing in the name of your God. Well, that's not love. That's not God. That's man-made ego God. Not true love God.
Exactly. And I feel that in a world where, yes, we certainly need more critical thinking, in this context, it's critical feeling that we need to implement. It's connecting, again, this is the path of the divine. It's connecting with our inherent navigator, our compass, which is not affected by the psychological limitations of our emotional feeling, our being, unprocessed emotions, things that prop us up in terms of our resistance to connecting with our own fears. It's where we take the judgment out and the conditions out, and we immerse ourselves into that delicious warm bath of pure acceptance.
Beautiful.
It is, regardless of any external difference or attitudinal difference, that we are all part of the same. And it's the enjoyment of that. It's the establishing of union that is love. And that is what's so divine, literally divine.
That's so true. And, you know, that's why we go out, we go through our dark night of the soul, we go into our cave, we travel everywhere seeking this, like the alchemist did, seeking this I believe it's spiritual fulfillment that we're all seeking, spiritual fulfillment. And so we're all seeking that. And we're all seeking where we are. We go through all the things that were not love so that we come back to know what self-love truly is. And we draw back all those parts of our soul that we gave away through our dark times, through our experiencing, to bring them back into wholeness, holiness, wholeness, which I believe is the state of balance and enlightenment. It's not some profound, crazy thing that you have to sit there for hours meditating. It's that balance, it's that holiness, that wholeness between all everything.
Absolutely. And the approach that I come from is the, in order to find that balance, we divine a sequence of momentous challenges, external, internal, both.
Yes.
To move closer and closer to grace.
Yes.
That's really what it is. And to come to the conclusion in a way that is meaningful, that is internally tangible to us, that we are despite, we are equal, we are spirit, despite all the things that we put upon ourselves to find that we can unearth ourselves, regardless of how many layers, how much detritus is in the way. That is just the process of life, is just removing, observing, understanding until the next and the next and the next, until we get to the bottom and it's time to go back home, and then we'll choose something else. And it may be here, in my opinion, it may be here, maybe other dimensions and numerous dimensions and other places to be.
Yes.
But for this time,
yes,
in this very, tangible again, this very dense, literal world that we've chosen to be, where everything is manual and slow path.
Yes.
And very in your face.
That's it.
That we, in our individual ways, have to find that we're individual purely for the purpose of growth, not that we are actually individual.
Yeah. And that's where it comes from. We come from the oneness, the spiritual, heavenly, multidimensional realms, heavenly realms, this divine flame, straight into the human body in the moment of conception. Let there be light. They've got the light of that moment of conception. And then that is the separation from the divine. And we come into this world of duality to learn about good and bad, masculine and feminine, you know, up and down, left, all the opposites, to find that wholeness and that balance and that union again. It's union with ourselves and union with that divine part of ourselves, you know, so that we can then give that out to the whole, to the world.
Which absolutely. And the reminder of that conception, the starting of that aspect of experience, is the precursor. So that when we learn something, if we're aware of it, we have a mindfulness of it, the conception happens at every nanosecond, because we're learning and we're growing all the time. Some things we can see, some things we can't, some things we feel, but nevertheless, we are moving, we're growing all the time, even if the lesson is a repetition on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, there's a different aspect always. Nothing is alike.
That's right.
The conception is an ongoing rebirth, even whilst we're maturing.
Yes.
We're never too old to learn and to perceive and to appreciate from a different standpoint.
Yes. We're always healing. We're always evolving. We're always learning. It just goes on and on, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yes. And that's spiritual. That's what spirituality is. And spirituality for the non-religious. I like that. That's please tell us what this, how you see that. Spirituality for the non-religious.
Well, spirituality doesn't have a name, really.
No.
Whereas religions do. It's again part of the separating. It's the defining, it's the club that one has a title and belongs to a greater or lesser degree. It can be a philosophy rather than necessarily strict structures. But because spirituality represents freedom, spirituality, in my terms, can also mean a relinquishing of ties, of restrictions, of a sense of being held in and limited in the experience of life and connecting with others and everything. Whether it can be nature, it can be the animal kingdom, it can be anything. Anything that provides an obstacle is a limitation of spirituality. So even if you don't subscribe to a religion per se, and religion can be atheism, really, because it's a belief system come under the umbrella of, anything can be titled, so long as there are rules and regulations or approaches, attitudes, where spirituality is all things, is encompassed and includes absolutely everything, that which might be considered spiritual in terms of nice and sweet and positive. Again, it comes to the contrast of requiring the dark, as we refer to it, that which is against our sense of happiness and peace and belonging. So spirituality is, I suppose, the oxygen of connectivity.
Yes, that's beautiful.
And that's how I would define it, as being in all things. It passes all things. It is the breath of life and connectivity. And therefore, it doesn't need a name. It doesn't need anything. You're accepted regardless. It's like those health insurance adverts you see, or the life assurance, rather, where you don't have to fill in any tedious forms. You'll be accepted. Well, spirituality is that.
That's it. That's so true. And it's your own, you know, it's your own belief, your own intuition, your own divine connection. No one has a hierarchy upon it. You know, it's how you perceive yourself and how you give that spiritual, you know, just to give that out to the world. That's beautiful. Your spirit, you're giving out your spiritual divine love light energy, healing energy to the world. That is so powerful. You're uplifting the vibration of humanity when you do this, you know. And so how does meditation fit into connecting with spirit and spirituality? I mean, we do it all the time. We know that that is. But this is, yeah, it's such a big, important part of spirituality, meditation.
Yes. I mean, again, it depends on the variety of meditation and what the purpose of it is, what the experience is, what if there's an end result required, what that requirement is. To me, meditation, again, in the context of how I've learned it and I teach it, is about loosening the presence of mind for the purpose of connecting within. Connecting, it can be connecting within one's own truth, to see without fear and in a comfortable, accepting approach what we hide from ourselves normally, because it doesn't suit us, it frightens us, it undermines our sense of empowerment, etc., etc. It can be releasing the logical, the rational from the mind, that the mind insists upon, the ego mind, the protector, and the self-enhancing, so that there a window is created in order to be able to connect with the divine. And the divine, again, it can be in terms of whatever represents that. It can be religious. In my case, because I work in a spiritual approach without the addition of religiosity,
yes,
it's a question of connecting to my higher self, that which is the fundamental that Anthony Rosenbaum is the persona that was decided upon this time with spirit guides, those helpers.
Yes.
In order to have certain experiences and challenges and meeting certain people, being mirrored by other people, mirroring to other people, but always there as a catalyst. Conditions that provide the optimum for the particular nuances and flavors of what is going to be focused on, the different subjects, the different areas of learning. So it is withdrawing from the insistence of the mind, taking precedence and allowing to receive, to interconnect, to blend with that which is not the province of the mind.
Yes.
And to be watchful and absorbing and moving without any defined precondition of any kind. It's a stepping back, and it's a stimulation, and it's a give and take, because we, again, our minds, our ego minds, like to say that any interaction with the spirit or the divine is purely for our own benefit. It's a graspy type of, hungry type of thing. Whereas from my belief, we, as I said before, we contribute. It's a cooperative,
yes,
ever expanding, ever moving stimulation of more and more and more and more.
Exactly.
And there is no finite. So it's a question of being with the infinite,
mm-hmm,
which the divine can be described as the infinite, unending possibility of all, and where there is no glass ceiling,
yes,
of any kind.
That's right.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It also gives permission for the mind to act as it really is, its purpose, rather than take over and insist it knows everything, is actually a processor. So that the learning can be adopted through conscious awareness of what's happening. But it doesn't stem from the mind. It draws from the auric field that has every aspect, everything that has been on the journey to this point. I mean, we see things in terms of time, but in our awareness, it draws every aspect. Now, it's limited in the sense of what's appropriate, what's helpful for the lesson. But as with a child, you don't tell a child lots of sophisticated adult orientated insight because a child isn't, it's not appropriate for a child. It hasn't got the ability to process it or to understand it or to use it. It has no purpose. Well, so it is with what our higher self filters in terms of what we have. So when we meditate, our focus goes down to our feeling, to our heart chakra. That's where our awareness is. And the only role for the brain and the mind is to fulfill its role of accomplishing a new understanding and a new integrated sense of self.
Yes, that's so true. It's like, you know, the ego mind, the egoic mind is a tool that we can use. It shouldn't control us, yeah? And that's why meditation is so important, because I believe it helps us become more of a master of our thoughts, feelings, words, and actions that we can then take into our everyday lives and be more, you know, of non-reactive and more in that place of peace and calm to deal with our problems and find the solution to things and to people and to everyday living.
As we blend more with the higher self, as we forge a clearer relationship, something that we see as being true, which is always the path of the person on a tangible spiritual journey. I mean, I believe we're all on a spiritual journey, but it's, again, it's a title and it's awareness and it's a prioritizing. As we go along that, we realize that the reliance on the mind is counterproductive. And by meditating and by finding greater peace within, we then can then harmonize far more with the vibrations that we interact with in every form. Even sitting down on a chair, it's a different sensation. It's a different connection, let alone with other people, with nature. We find that we can harmonize. We can lower the volume on division. And the sense of oneness makes us less provocative.
Yes.
And as we interact and we receive from other people's truths, we can be far more stable.
Yes.
In that sense. And it allows the path to be far more grounded. We can receive and give far more without the ups and downs of tumultuous reaction. Okay. Which I've myself have had throughout my life. So when I discovered meditation, and sometimes far more adherence to it than others, I might say, it's like so many things. When you meditate and you do it a lot, and for years I did it twice a day, and was very, very observant to my inner discipline for that. It reached a point where I felt so contrasted to how I was and so glorious that I thought, well, I can just relax it a bit. You know, I can use that time for other things. No, you do need to.
You have to do that. You have to connect. You have to connect every day to fill your vessel up.
Exactly. It's a kind of fitness.
It is.
It's a kind of fitness routine, but you have muscle memory with meditation as well.
That's
but
right.
When you go back to it, it's, oh, yes,
that's how right.
It was. I don't know why I didn't need it. I felt I didn't need it. This is absolute bliss.
That's right. You always need it. Yeah. It's your daily deep dive into blissful peace, you know.
It makes life so much easier as well. That's the point. And that's the pleasure I have from when I act as tutor, when I teach people to meditate, and for it to be seen so easy. So many people have this image of terrible discipline, and you have to go through this, and you have to be in the lotus position, and you have to block everything out, and yada, yada, yada. Well, some have more requirements than others. The form that I teach does not have that requirement, and anybody can learn it.
Exactly, exactly. It's just being with your true self in the moment. That being.
Yes, and also defining the difference between contemplation and meditation.
Yes.
Where contemplation can feel meditative, but it is essentially of the mind. It is a sort of a sorting through.
Yes, you're still thinking. You're still in the thinking, in the thinking, where meditation is not. Yeah.
Rather than using the mind to witness, it's still is active, is activated in a practical way, whereas with meditation, it's not.
Yes. It's such a wonderful, it's such, for me, it's the one, it is the be all, end of all, because I couldn't be in this life without having my daily meditation. It's completely taken away lots, you know, because as of you, I have been through many contrasts, much suffering. But, you know, we are, as the Buddha says, we're in a world of suffering. Yeah, we are, but we're also in a world of bliss as well. It's the contrast, it's the duality. And through our suffering, we learn about love of the self, and we learn about the suffering of others, that everyone suffers, and through that we learn empathy, you know, of other people. And it's all relative about what that lady in that hut in India having 8 children is suffering to ours, because it's all relative. So it gives us the big heart, you know, of compassion.
Absolutely. And it's our choice of discernment of the degree to which we turn up or turn down the negative, the hardships, and so forth. The degree to which, where we're at, the degree to which we're able to give, that we're motivated to give, or if we're not at that place where it's shutting it out, bolstering our own sense of fear, limitation. It's very important to use fear, and like any bully, which fear is, to face it.
Yeah,
it's very, very important that you get to the point where you say, "No, I have sovereignty here. I'm sovereign, and this is not something that I'm going to allow in my
That's
area."
Right.
I just wish to add a little bit about meditation. It just occurred to me, for anybody that's listening, when it comes to visualizations, they can be glorious. I enjoy them myself, and I enjoy giving them, taking visualizations, where, for those that this is new, where somebody will take you down a path, a story,
yes,
where you'll close your mind and you'll close your eyes, and you'll be led through a story of relaxation, where there's a stimulation of the mind by the storyteller to get to some end. And a lot of people will refer to that as a type of meditation.
Guided meditation, yeah.
So for me, that isn't meditation.
Yeah, me too. I don't believe that. Yeah.
Because it stimulates the mind again.
Exactly.
The mind has got pictures going on.
That's
whereas
right.
With meditation, or at least this kind of meditation that I'm talking about, you form your own, or you are shown your own by your higher self for whatever is expedient for the learning of that particular period. And so guided meditation, other than starting the process, is a non-thing for me.
Yeah, me too. I totally believe the same thing, because all the good, but all the mistakes, all the bad, they have to be shared.
And allow ourselves to be conduits for that purpose, that we don't hold on to it, that we see ourselves as interacting with everybody and everything else, and that that in itself is the only role of this particular journey that we're on here, and that time is purely the limiter of this particular experience before we then hand over to our higher self and our guides to decide what, where, how is the next one. But to go, the cliche, go with the flow. And when you are unable to go with the flow, look at and work with that which is the obstructor, the restrictor, the speed restrictor, which is what it is. See what it is that is so uncomfortable, that triggers, that is where the real work is. It's the harsh stuff, the undermining stuff. That's where the spiritual nutrition really is there to be taken, enjoyed, and we grow from.
Yes, definitely. And it's all good, all of it, all the bad, it's all good. You know,
it's all useful.
That spirituality, it drives us. It moves us. Otherwise, we wouldn't move. You know, it pushes us. It forces us to the precipice and says it's ready for change. Forces us to the precipice to change. You know, it's like anger. Anger is, you know, sometimes we need that. It's a human emotion to say no, to stand up for our rights, to stand up for others, to say no. But it's needed. You know, it's all good, all of it. All is all of it.
Energy has to earth. And when something is restricted, it has an effect. I think we talked about it earlier. It can toxify. It can come out in manifest ways, not only for our undermining our own good, but through vibration and what is given out to everything else. So it's about cultivating an awareness of what we're feeling and how that impacts our behavior, what we say. It's not easy. Yes. None of this is, well, it's as easy as our mind allows us to perceive it, actually.
Yeah.
But when we feel fundamentally small and vulnerable, our mind will tell us something is hard. Actually, when you then connect to the heart rather than the mind, and the heart is endless possibility, it is the journey to now, and in the future, as we perceive time, it is expansion without restriction. And it may be at a slower pace than others, but we don't compare with others other than to just see possibility and to see where we are in our growth. But everything is possible through our heart. And a huge amount we tell ourselves is not possible through the mind, because that's where the fearful ego resides.
So profound. Yes, that's it. That's it. Oh my gosh. It's been an absolute pleasure, Anthony, to deep dive into this, you know, what the difference between spirituality and religion is. And, you know, I just love your divine wisdom, and I love having our spiritual chat. So thank you, Anthony, for being on the Great Awakening show.
I've enjoyed it immensely. It's been a pleasure, and yes, it's unending. It rolls on. So thank you for the opportunity. It was gorgeous.
Lovely.